With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from a radioactive bunker deep inside the Bracket compound, this is Real Spoilers, a special interview edition. This is Kevin coming at you solo because I want to share with you a conversation I had as a part of a roundtable discussion with Antonio Campos, the director of the new Netflix film out today, The Devil All the Time.
Happy birthday,
Arlen. Happy birthday, honey.
Happy birthday to you.
This was your daddy's. Brought back from the war. I figure it's time to pass it on.
It's the best present I ever got. Thank you.
How and why people from two points on a map without even a straight line between them can be connected is at the heart of our story in Knock'em Stiff.
You ever think about how we ended up orphans living in the same house?
I know what my daddy did.
Some people would say it's just dumb luck.
You take pictures?
I do. I see a smile pretty enough to photograph, that is.
Others would tell you it was God's plan.
Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
That ain't no preacher. He's as bad as they got on the damn radio.
When people look back on it, they had no other choice.
There's a lot of no good sons of bitches out there.
Excuse me, preacher. You got time for a sinner?
You know, I studied something. It's called the delusion. A belief that is untrue.
It is our delusion that lead us to sin. Delusions!
Some people were born just so they could be buried.
What I'm about to do, I do because I have to. Not because I want to.
The film is also written by Antonio Campos with his brother Paulo Campos and based on the novel by Donald Ray Pollock. The Devil All the Time stars Robert Pattinson, Tom Holland, Bill Skarsgård, Haley Bennett, Riley Keough, Harry Melling, Sebastian Stan, Mia Wasikowska, Eliza Scanlon, Jason Clarke, and many more. Campos worked closely with the novel's author, Donald Ray Pollock, on adapting the novel to the screen. I asked the director if there were any scenes in particular that he fought to have changed.
Well, the one I'll tell you about specifically that was really kind of, I think, it turned into my favorite scene of the movie. In the end, there's a confrontation that happens between Arvin, Tom Holland's character, and Rob Pattinson, who plays Tea Garden. And in the book, it happens in this one remote little corner where Tea Garden takes his victims. And we switched it into the church, and we changed the dynamic so that you almost start the scene off as though this young guy has come in to confess to this preacher. And then you realize that the intention is way more dangerous than that. And so, you know, that was one example of how we, you know, we took a note from Don and then just played with it and sort of kept the essence of the scene the same, but just kind of made it a little bit more dynamic and cinematic in a way.
Jeff Mitchell from Phoenix Film Festival spoke to Campos about a quote he saw from Bill Skarsgård about his character in the film. Jeff's first impression was that the film was anti-religion, but then he saw the quote from Skarsgård saying that it's not so much a comment on religion as much as it is a comment about what people choose to do with religion.
I mean, I think that's beautifully articulated by Bill, who is such a wise, wonderful soul. You know, it really is not about, the movie is about extreme believers in religion, in their faith, and the dangers of that, because all these characters are screaming to the heavens, looking for answers, and what they get in return is silence. And in that void, they fill it with an answer themselves. And if it is a person who is traumatized or delusional, they can fill it with a dangerous answer. And so the film is exploring the dangers of extreme religion and how people in power can take advantage of people's faith and manipulate them. And so that's what we're exploring. The film isn't anti-religion. It is more a comment on the dangers of religion in the wrong hands.
Friend of the show Dan Buffa from KSDK in St. Louis wanted to know why the director is attracted to dark stories and characters.
I think it is the challenge of making these dark characters, complicated characters, accessible, and trying to understand what drives them and what motivates some of their bad choices. And I think that, you know, exploring the darkness in books and art and movies, that's a safe place to explore those themes and you know, to understand that side of the coin informs the way that we perceive, I don't know, life. It kind of like to trying to understand why some people make the choices they make and to see if there's a humanity in them is part of being human. So that's what drives me, is trying to understand why these characters, these people do what they do. And at the end of the day, if we can find any humanity in them.
Mark Mazuras from the News Herald Morning Journal in Cleveland and Digital First Media asked Campos about how he juggles so many characters and introduces all of them without overwhelming the audience.
It's definitely a challenge juggling this many characters. What we had to do with this movie was to sort of like introduce characters in the periphery and let them be known by the audience so that when they come back, that you're like ready to go with them. And that's kind of why you have to cast some of these actors with recognizable faces, because if you go and you're like, oh, that's Jason Clarke, oh, that's Riley Keough, you go, oh, they're going to be in this movie again. Like, there's just something subconsciously that's happening when you're watching that go down. So without doing very much, you're like, oh, that's a character that's going to be part of the movie. And then when they come back, you're like ready for it. So it's about how do you kind of like pepper the other characters in before their storylines sort of take over. And then also making sure you cast them with someone that's either going to be memorable or someone that you are familiar with that you know is going to come back.
Joe Giros from Scene Stealers noticed that Robert Pattinson went a little bit bigger with the character than some of the other actors and wanted to know if that was a choice made by Pattinson or if he worked with the director to develop that performance.
We always wanted Tea Garden to have this otherworldly quality, like a big entrance. Like, he's designed to come into the movie and shake it up. Like, when Tea Garden comes in, you're just like, okay, there's this, you know, you're settling into this other storyline with, you're getting to know Tom Holland's character and Eliza Scanlon's character. And then you're like, where is the danger? And then Tea Garden shows up. So we always knew that Tea Garden kind of was like this force that kind of shakes up the rest of the movie. So, and because Tea Garden's so far outside the realm of the movie, like so far outside of West Virginia and Ohio, he had so much freedom to kind of like just run with that character and go. And I really was like, just go as far as you want to go. Like, just swing for the fences. And if you ever if we have to rein it in, we will. But like, I just love performances like that. And not, you know, and that was really sort of the mandate across the board. I think everybody in this film pushes themselves into places that they might not have gone before. Like, I think Sebastian Stan as Bodecker is just amazing. I mean, he's doing stuff that is just kind of like, that is really swinging for the fences, and he transforms his body and everything. It's just, so everybody was kind of like, just, I tried to imbue everybody with a sense of freedom to go and have fun with their characters.
D'Angelo from The Geek Life pointed out that there are a lot of compelling scenes and performances in the film, and wanted to know if Campos had a favorite of his own.
It's simple. For me, it's just this one scene that I just think is like one of my favorite things I've ever directed, which is the face-off in the church between Tom and Rob. From the moment that we wrote it to just every step of the way of shooting it, of directing the actors, because it was like theater, you know, it's just two people sitting there looking at each other, having a conversation, and, you know, making sure that we design, you know, when you have this kind of very simple setup, you really kind of spend so much time designing it so that every shot, every moment just kind of feels really rich. And then in that scene, my wife is the editor, and we worked on that in some way, like every day for 8 months. Like I went to bed thinking about that scene. I woke up thinking about that scene. It was like this obsession. And then in the sound mix, we were like obsessed with every detail of like them sitting, like the sound of the chair, their clothes, the rattle of the gun, and then the score, just really nailing the score and the kind of ride that the music takes you on through that scene. So that is the scene that is like, I think, the most complex in terms of its design, and in some ways the simplest in terms of its setup. So I really love that scene, and I think that'll be one of my favorite scenes that I've ever made or been part of making.
Travis Hobson from Punch Drunk Critics wanted to know what it was like working with his brother Paolo on the script.
Oh man, writing with my brother was a great experience. I mean, he's my older brother, so there's already a dynamic there before we got started, you know. And in a lot of ways, my brother was the guy that introduced me to so many different books and movies and music when I was a kid. So much of the reason why I love these genres is because my brother turned them on to me. So there was this kind of inherent connection over the material that we both had, and like this love for the material that we both had. And we just worked really closely and we would go work way into the night. Like sometimes, like when we had to get a draft done, we'd be working together till like 5 or 6 in the morning. And, you know, you have some of the biggest fights you'll ever have with someone when you work with them that closely. And you'll also get closer to them in a way that you'll never get without that sort of experience. So it's got its pros and cons, but ultimately I think it's made my brother and me have an even closer relationship.
John Huber from the HD Room wanted to know the thought process behind casting the book's author, Donald Ray Pollock, as the narrator in the film, and how that worked into the overall narrative of the story.
My brother and I talked about narration from the beginning, but we didn't include it until like the second draft. We had talked about it, but we just wanted to get the drafts. We want to get through the draft without it to see where we needed it. And so from the moment we started implementing narration, there was no other person in my mind than Don Ray Pollock. Like, I knew his voice was like perfect, and it was a voice that was born and raised in Nakamsiff, Ohio. So like, what actor are you going to be able to get that can replicate the feel of that specific place? It's just so specific. That sound of Southern Ohio is very specific, and the sound of Nakamsiff is very specific. So Don had that. He knew the world. He knew the characters. He created the world and the characters. So it was just like there was nobody else. And I hadn't heard any author of his own book narrate his own adaptation. So it just felt fresh in a way and exciting. And I love the challenge of working with someone who's not an actor, because it's just like you get a kind of performance that doesn't feel like a performance, but just someone talking to you. And so when Don agreed to do it, he recorded all the scripted narration. We used it as we assembled the movie, as we shot it. And then as my wife and I were editing the movie, we would get like an idea for a piece of voice over here or there. And then I would email Don right away and Don would like shoot it back pretty much like immediately. And then he'd give me different reads on it and also sometimes give me an alt take and like add a little bit of spice to it in a way that I hadn't thought about. So there was just like, it was a really great collaborative process, and his voice was so important to the book. And I was happy that we figured out a way of like incorporating it literally in the movie.
So that was the conversation with the director of The Devil All the Time, Antonio Campos. The film is one that we are going to be getting into on the show in a couple of weeks, so stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, you can watch it now on Netflix. So chime in, let us know what you think of both the interview and the film. Follow the show on all our social media, share the show. You can follow me at Kevin R. Brackett on Twitter. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon, and leave us a review on iTunes if you haven't done that yet. It's always appreciated. So until next time, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.